prnoticias.com Podcast Onda Mujer. Play.
Hello everyone. Welcome to the Women's Radio with Milingual. A time when we get together to talk about issues that interest women, share experiences, and of course, learn English while we do it. Today, here at Onda Mujer Radio, we have Einar Silvestre, the adjunct director and the virtual library manager. She works at the library in the IE Business School and the IE University. She also manages the electronic resources available to all current IE students, faculty, staff, and to certain alumni. We are also pleased to announce that we have other visitors here with us too. They are Daria.
Hello.
And Noemi.
Hello.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Onda Mujer and Milingual Spain. So, let's get started. So, many years ago, the library was where all the students would learn, research, and study, because the books and the resources were all there, and couldn't be found elsewhere. However, in our digital age, libraries are slowly becoming more obsolete. Henar has a vital position in the IE Business Library and at the university, as she is responsible for the virtual library. A virtual library includes ebooks, online journals, and access to other academic databases. She's also currently working on technological projects, such as application development, smart areas, and she trains other students, staff, and faculty. So, Henna, could you tell us a bit about the library at the IE University?
So, hello, good morning. Thanks for inviting me to Onda Mujer. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. So, as you say, I work at a library. And can you repeat the question?
Sure. Can you just tell us a bit about the library at the IE University? What's there? What's your role? What it's like?
Yeah. So we are an academic library. We support research and education, and our aim in the library is to help students and faculty and staff to be excellent and to provide access to information and to help our patrons.
Mm-hmm. And how many students are at the university, more or less, out of curiosity?
Oh, yeah, difficult question. I really don't know. It's growing very fast, and this year we have like 700 students, mm-hmm. like more students, 700
sure.
more. So I can't tell a number. I'm not sure because it's growing really fast.
Wow. And how did you get involved with this library? How did you start working here? What is it like? What do you do on a daily basis at the library?
Yeah, now I manage e-resources and I provide online access to our resources like e-journals, e-books, databases. I'm also working in technological projects like to be different, to be next to the technology and the new updates are coming.
And I remember as a student myself, a few years ago, libraries were in general full of books and resources that we used in the library. How have you seen that change while working in such a new, innovative place, from going to paper books and shelves with the decimal system and all of that to everything being electronic, digital, cyber, virtual, all of that?
Well, we have printed books, like mm-hmm. not much because actually the library is not that
many.
Big, but because we work and we buy e-books mostly if it's available, because nowadays not all the titles are available in electronic format, but our library, the biggest part of our library is virtual, but at least we have some printed books as well, but it changed since I start to study library science, and it changed a lot the environment.
And you just said you studied library science. Does it mean that there is they have specific courses to become to be able to work as a virtual librarian?
Yeah, it's a good question. Actually, the people think that to be a librarian is not it's not a degree, or we just like to read, or because we are librarian and also documentalist, and people think that you make documentary movies, but it's actually not.
No.
Yeah, it's a 5-year. Okay, when I studied, it was a 5-year degree. Now it's 4 because of Bologna new system, and I also have master, and I'm also a PhD candidate. I mean, there is a lot of stuff to do with libraries and library science. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And what are you most interested in? In working in a library, what is your personal passion, or what excites you most about libraries or working as a library scientist?
I like technology, and I like the new developments, new things that could be applied to a library. So what I like is to discover new things, new software, new apps, new ways to provide information and to be innovative and to try to find what is new in the market and to apply it to our library. This is what I like.
And what is something that you're working on right now, or that you've recently discovered or learned about?
We've been testing some new devices, like Google Glasses, by the way. I like it. It was really...
Can you explain a little bit about what that is? Because I've heard about it around, and I'm not sure I get the idea.
It's a new toy, let's call it toy, of Google. Actually, it's not very new, but... and actually, it was not very popular, I think. At the end, it was not successful, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been testing it, and we wanted to develop... It's a glass that you put, like a normal glass.
Like normal eyeglasses?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have kind of extra screen, I don't know how to explain, where you can see things. At the same time, you see, the reality, the street, for example. Then you can see Google Maps, or you can receive a call, or you can text an SMS. So you can do both things at the same time, like to walk in the streets, for example, and then call and do other stuff. So we in the library, we've been testing it. We wanted to develop an app for it, but we are still working on a great idea for it.
Is that a secret?
No, actually. If you have any ideas, you can help us.
So your idea would be, I think I understand the idea, is that you have a digital screen added to your glasses, or as your glasses, which allow you to access features from a cell phone or a tablet.
Yeah, actually, this is the main use for the normal use for the glasses. But in the library, we wanted to do something related with the library, of course, to have a search engine. I mean, our search engine in the glass. But this project is still not real. We are just thinking, but we have other projects, we are working on it, and it will be live soon, I hope. And some apps where you can renew your books or make a reservation. So you just don't need to come to a library or send an email. You do it just using your phone. Or some other project, this one I like it very much, is Smart Areas. It's an app that you download to your smartphone, and when you enter in the library, the phone switches to silent mode. So, and we also, this is one feature of this app, and also we will send notifications today we extend the opening hours of the library, or we have a new database, or whatever. So I hope it will be available before Christmas.
And you're developing the app yourself, or you're working with a group of other people who are making it?
Yeah, we are working with a startup actually. There are some small company who developed the app, but we are just trying to set up in our library because it's not that easy. You need to have a perimeter and for the waves. How you say the ondas?
The waves, yeah.
Yeah, like Wi-Fi or whatever. So you need
the network.
The network. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so.
Huh.
So you have to configure it.
And thinking about your first library experiences, do you remember going to the library as a child? Did you have a library at your school? Was this a familiar place for you? Or how did you get interested, or how did you become interested in studying library science? It's not a very common degree, at least from what I've heard these days.
Yeah, it's not very common, actually. Okay, there are many librarians, so we make many things.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, but it's not for many people. It's like kind of, they don't know what is actually. And to be honest, it was not my dream to be a librarian. I mean, when I was a child, I didn't say to my mother, oh, when I grow up, I would like to be a librarian. Yeah, that's not the truth. But I have always a good experience with libraries and with books. And I have a really nice library in my school. And in the rainy days, we used to go to the library instead to be in the playground. And we have colorful books with many pictures and drawings, and it was nice. And also, I always have books for Christmas as Christmas present. But now I'm very happy to be a librarian, and I think I'm learning a lot of things. And it's a field of knowledge that is growing and is moving. It's not like just all libraries with books. We have many new things to do and to learn. So I like it.
And how do you see the role of the library in 50 years? Do you think there'll still be books?
Yeah, because if there are no books, how can we decorate our living room? I mean, like...
with the old ones, no?
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm kidding. It's like, I think there will be books. But, of course, the e-books and the electronic format and the other ways to access information will change, because it changed from the past 10 years. And so it changed a lot in the past 10 years. So... in 50 years, it will be different. I don't know how. But I hope the printed books still live. I like printed
They'll
books.
They'll survive.
Also. Yeah.
I just finished university recently, and we had also an online database. And when I was looking for a book, there would be shown that they have it as printed one version and then as online version. And I would always go for the printed version if I would go and spend 20 minutes, but at the end of the day, I would find this book and then I'll take it with me home. But now, do you think students, majority of them are like that as well? Or do they prefer like to download the electronic copy or just save electronic copy and like not bother go and find it in the shelf?
Yeah, it depends. There are some patrons that they like the printed copy, and they even don't mind to wait for 15 days to get the printed copy. But nowadays, I think users, they use tablets and iPads, and so they like to download, and there are tools to highlight the book, to create, to make notes as a printed book. So, yeah, it depends. There are 50-50 nowadays. I think it will change anyway.
Do you see a difference as you work in a library with a lot of staff or faculty who are a bit older and students who are a bit younger? In your experience, do you see a difference between younger people tend to be more technologically friendly or capable, whereas older people tend to stick to the good old book in hand method, or is it really just a mix?
Yeah, IE is an institution that is like professors are really top in their fields, and they are familiar with technologies. So I don't feel this difference between the 18 year students and the professor, for example,
sure.
Because they are really technological also faculty, the IE faculty. So I don't feel that, but maybe in other kind of libraries they will be.
And Do you see any disadvantages? I'm a pro technology person to a certain point, but and I appreciate people who work in technology and try to develop and advance and improve, but there's always disadvantages to changes or people that are hesitant to adapt to the new ways. What are some disadvantages that you could see from all of this technology being introduced into libraries in, say, the past 10 or 15 years?
Yeah, actually, yesterday we were talking about this topic in the library because a printed book, for example, it will be always there. I mean, like, can be born or whatever, but it will be there. But if you download an ebook to your laptop, for example, and in 10 years or even 5 years your laptop is not working anymore, you will miss the book.
You'll lose the book.
Yeah, you'll lose the book. So this is this kind of things. But maybe in 5 years you will not read this book anymore. So it's not even a problem. Mm. But we are now in this kind of point where we are not sure about. But I think, yeah, I go for technology anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. And interesting. And for Noemi and Daria, what was the library like in your childhood? How do you remember going to the library or using the library?
I didn't go personal to the library when I was like studying at school. I just started to become. I became a library user when I was at uni, mm-hmm. and I think throughout the whole not during my first or second or third year, but on my last year when I had to do my dissertation. That's when I lived in the library, and daytime and nighttime, I was always there. And but as I said, I prefer printed version. I used electronic journals. I used just actually only in electronic version. Yeah, but in my childhood, it wasn't really common. Like I would borrow books from my friends, or just I had some books at home. I didn't really use library.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of technology did you use at your library? Are there some things that stood out that you remember that made it easier for you to find something, or technological disasters and everything didn't work and I can't find what I need, tomorrow I need this now?
I always had this panic that I can't find a book or something, but then I would find it. Like, at the end of the day, I would find it. Like, I haven't had this problem that I just didn't find something. But if there was an issue, it would be about internet connection, or I don't know, like if my laptop is not charged or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I would spend ages finding a book. It wouldn't be on the place on a shelf where it should be, because someone put it in the wrong place.
Of course,
it happens in libraries. Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't remember when I was younger if I had a library or something, but now when I was in the university my first year, I had the problem that for my degree, all the books that you have to read, they were in the library. And maybe there was only 2 books for 60 people. So I think that for me, it was a problem because I was all the time trying to find a book.
Sure.
And it was impossible. And it's strange because in my university, they have like ebooks, but they have only like 2 or 3.
So you couldn't download them for yourself?
No. They have, I don't know what is the criteria, because there are some books that are online and you can download them. But I think it's better to put them all in a online version, because 2 books for 60 people is a very big problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what we do in iLibrary is we buy a multi-user electronic books. So, because it depends on the provider, like it's like kind of library stuff. But we used to buy, if the book is available for multi-user, we buy multi-user. Because, as you say, to have just 2 copies for 60 people is not enough. So electronic is fast, and you can download and access offline if you are in the train or in the bus, wherever. And we have like simultaneous access for all the students if they want to. So.
And out of curiosity, if I was a student at the IE University and I downloaded a book, could my sister read it? Or is it only for my computer with my login, or how does that work?
Yeah, you download the book to a device. I mean, like, if you download it in your iPad, you have it only in your iPad or in your PC. And, of course, if you allow your sister, she can read it from your device.
Sure.
But e-books have a really strong intellectual property rights. And so the software that allows you to have the book in your PC, for example, will be sure that you have it for 15 days only and you don't print more than 10% of the e-book. And there is no way you can print the whole book or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like they have a lot of control on that, and they have to have this control.
And do you do some kind of statistics, for example? I don't know whether you can see like how many times a certain book was downloaded, and then like because that idea came to my mind because some books that there are books that everyone needs from a course. And then would they do like that, like see how many times they downloaded this book and then be like, I don't know, probably we should buy more printed copies of this because this one is really on demand. Or maybe we can just get rid of this one because no one uses it or something like that.
Yeah, if the book is an e-book, we don't buy the printed copy. So this is like, but what we have is a model that is called PDA, is Patron Driven Acquisition. That it means we have a like huge portal of ebooks, I can say like thousands of ebooks, but these ebooks don't belong to the library. It's just when a patron goes to an ebook and read it, first we have the book on, we call it on loan. And after three loans, the book belongs to the library, and we buy the book. So that's the way that we give access to all of our patrons to a thousand and a huge collection of books, but we just buy the ones that they read, the ones that they really need. So it's a good way to work, I think.
And if somebody needs a book that or an ebook that is not on the library, I mean, they can ask you for a book and you try to find it, or what do you do?
Yeah. Actually, one of the most popular services we have in the library is the interlibrary loan. And it's really important. And so actually when we have these user trainings and when people come to the library, we say like, okay, if we don't have it, we will get it for you. So don't hesitate to ask for any book, any journal, anything you need, and we'll try. Actually, between libraries, because we work with other libraries worldwide, and our catalog is a cooperative of catalogs where many libraries have their records. So we have access, we have this interlibrary loan service that people use a lot.
And so I'm familiar with the interlibrary loan as a student who studied languages in the States, so I was needing books mainly from Brazil and Spanish-speaking countries. But how does this work in the digital age? Why would the IE University have access or have a certain book or not have a certain book that the Complutense might have if it's all digital and it's just an issue of sending? Or does it have to do with paying royalties or rights or the ability to access sort of what you were talking about with the technology to not be able to download it and print it for everybody?
Yeah, with books it's not working, with e-books it's not working the interlibrary loan. Not yet, and at least not in Spain as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was trying to find a way to allow e-books alone, but I don't know in the States it's working or not.
I don't know. I didn't use e-books.
I don't think so, because actually the software we use to manage the library workflows is from US, and so we work also with worldwide libraries, not only Spanish libraries or European libraries. But when it's a printed book, we have to when it's an interlibrary loan for a book, should be in printed format. Mm-hmm. But with articles, it's different. As Daria says, like, the journals, they are not anymore. I mean, they are, but in printed format, yes. It's a PDF, so it's really easy to share. And, of course, there is, it has a cost. Mm-hmm. But for our patrons, the library is having this this cost, supporting the cost.
Sure, so your library pays for that, yeah. Or offers those services for everybody.
And does the IE library have any exclusive access to some databases that, like, majority of the university here in Spain don't have? Or is it, like... Is it, like, all the same, the amount of database that they have access to, like, in different units here?
Actually, yeah. I can say that we have, like, a lot of databases. And I don't know, because I don't want to compare with other universities, like Complutense or Carlos III or wherever. But we have many financial databases with companies' data and a huge amount of e-journals. So yeah, we have kind of really good electronic resources. So I think yeah, and so also other libraries ask iLibrary for to loan some journals or books or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the resources are in English. Does the IE as a business, and I've always had the understanding that it has a very international focus to it, is a lot of the material in English, or is it still, is it available in Spanish and English, or what kind of languages and internationalness do you have at the library?
Yeah, we have Spanish and English. I can say maybe 50-50 or mm-hmm. even more in English, because the students are international, and the degrees are in... There are some Spanish degrees, but most of them, the master degrees also are in English. So most of our documents are in English. But also, for example, the databases with e-journals, they have tools to translate in all the languages, or at least most of the languages in the world, like Chinese, Arabic, wherever. So
instantly. So you can be looking at an article in German and click three buttons and suddenly it appears in Chinese. Or is it because the article has already been translated and proofread or corrected in
It is immediate. Like, you can just choose between in a big list of languages, and I don't know the quality. I mean, like, I don't speak Chinese, so I just read it and I say, okay, it should be okay. But these tools that the providers have, they are good. I mean, it's not like, okay, you can say Google Translate. Like, sometimes it's kind of horrible, but yeah, they you have like in 2 seconds the article translated, and also you can hear it, like, and choose the accent, like American accent or Australian, or usually it's in English and or British accent. So it's like it helps people that they can do other things at the same time and just hear the article.
Wow.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. We're about to be finishing up. Does anybody have last minute questions or comments or things to share about our library discussion?
I have a question. As a virtual librarian, if there is any problem, like, with accessing a database, are you the one who is fixing it, or like?
Yeah, I manage the tool that we use to provide access off campus and on campus, because all of our resources are available from home, or, I mean, you don't need to be in the library or on iCampus. And yeah, I used to configure this kind of access. Sometimes it's broken and I have to talk to provider. So, but yeah, it doesn't happen very often. But yeah, I'm the one who fixed that. I like it. It's like a challenge.
Exactly.
So I like it.
Late night, Saturday afternoon, the database is down. Help me.
Yeah, I prefer between Monday and Friday if it's possible. But it's great.
How convenient. Exactly. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Noemi and Daria and Einar. And we're always looking for more guests. So if you're interested in joining, please joining us here in the studio, please sign up for a session at melingual.com. And thanks again, everyone, for participating. And definitely follow us on at Onda Mujer and Milingual on Twitter and Facebook.
In moon is in the seventh house, and Jupiter.